Any, welcome to the podcast. I see that you have your own podcast too. I was watching some episodes. It's super cute.
I do. Thank you.
You're like an actual professional with it.
To do it. Thank you. I try to be. Yeah, the professionalism is not so much my, in terms of production, the professionalism has nothing to do with me. Because people will leave comments and stuff on there sometimes, and they'll be like, oh, the audio, you should change, like, the, all that, have, that kind of stuff has nothing to do with me. Yeah. I'm like, this is, I'm like, I'll pass that information on.
Yeah,
like, angles and stuff like that has to do with me, because I get to obviously choose what angle I'm in. Yeah. But aside from that, it's kind of like, the tech stuff has nothing to.
Yeah, I mean, like, I wish I could say the same, but I'm just like, we're on a shoestring budget here. So it's like, I am producer, editor, distributor.
Wait a minute. You have shoestrings? I don't even have those.
Yeah. You do that.
On Velcro.
I'm trying to think. When I first, I think maybe the first episode I edited that I did, but then after that, it wasn't, I didn't edit. I just always get someone else to edit.
How do you, like, you just, like, find somebody on the internet to do it, or? Oh, wow.
Huh.
Well, if you need any help, let me know. I've gotten pretty good at Premiere Pro.
It's always done through, because I have, somebody does, like, the long form of it, and then I have somebody different do, the short forms that are created, like, for social media. Somebody else does those.
Yeah, we got lucky with Riverside. They like it uses AI to like cut down like clips that it thinks would be good.
Uh-huh.
And because I used to spend like an hour or two just making these little reels, and that like five people would watch, and it was like, come on. So, but
anyways. Now I do it in 10 minutes on a Thursday morning.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so the way we used to do it, like, obviously we do a kind of a cold open, so I'll cut some of this out and make it, you know, obviously won't put a bunch of this stuff in, but yeah, and then we just like kind of do the intro, just say the name of the show, say our names, and then introduce you, and if you wouldn't mind, give us like a, just basically a rundown of who you are, what you do, what makes you you, and our viewers love that. And before we start, like, is there anything that you don't want us to talk about? Any like sore subjects that should stay out? Relationships, blah 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 blah.
I don't think I have really any kind of sore subjects.
Damn it. I'm waiting for the day that some guest is like, absolutely do not talk about this.
We don't talk about my feet. Everybody, welcome back to Girl Dad Girls. I'm your host, that QT Danny B. With me, we have the amazing Brie St. Marie. As always, sadly, Mika couldn't make it tonight because she had work stuff that came up. So we miss her, but and we wish her well on her work things. With us tonight, we have a special guest. Miss Andy Jade is here with us, and we are so thankful for you to be here. Freaking gorgeous, y'all.
Thank you for having
me. My words already.
Yeah. So, Andy, tell us about yourself.
So, what all do you want to know?
Like,
I'm 33.
First grade.
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I'm not from Atlanta, Georgia. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm originally from, like, a small town in South Georgia. My current occupation-wise is social media, doing adult content as well, and running my podcast, T-Rated. What else do you want to know?
How has, like, your transition, how has it been? Like, tell us, like, your story.
It's been wonderful. So I started my medical transition in 2019.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, I always say medical transition because I started getting like laser. And I was, there was never a butch moment that I lived through past like the age of like 17 or 18.
Really?
Damn, lucky you.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really have, honestly, the butch was very... alleged butch read to begin with. And then, but I originally came out like in, came out as like liking guys in high school. And so I started wearing like makeup and stuff then. And then I started getting like laser and lip injections when I was probably like 22, I think, or 23.
Damn, get it.
And then I finally went full into it when I was, what was that, 28? Yeah, 28. I started like hormones and everything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Damn, you took that track that I wish I took. But I wasn't about to come out in Texas in the 90s. Yeah.
Virginia, even in the like, in the aughts was, yeah. But no, well, yeah, I think Bree and I both had like our kind of butch-ish moment. We were kind of...
I had like butch decades.
I had a beard and everything. I was,
yeah, see, I didn't ever, you know...
Like the I always like wanted to make myself like myself, so I'd work out a whole bunch. And the more I worked out, the less I liked myself, which was weird. So then I worked out more and liked myself less. So, but no, that's awesome. I love that. Like you were able to kind of like embrace who you were at an early age. And
well, it took. I come from like a Southern Baptist family. Oof. And so obviously there was a lot going on from like childhood to me being 17 and finally coming out. However, my I'm stubborn to a certain degree. And so I'm fortunate in that fact is once I'm okay with something, I could give a shit less about like the reality of anything else. And so once I was like found with the fact that I was attracted to guys, I didn't care that anybody else didn't. And so, like, when I was in high school, I ended up having to move in with, like, one of my best friends and her family because I couldn't live with my parents anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And, are they still not supportive?
Define supportive. I don't speak to, I have, like, a brother who is, like, a brother who's 2 years older than me who's, like, amazingly supportive. And then I have a cousin who is amazingly supportive. But outside of that, the majority of my family, I don't really...
Like, mom and dad are completely cut off?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's, like, they would still have a relationship with me if I would allow them to. But it would not be under the circumstances in which I'm going to continue a relationship. So...
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so weird how like some people like the parents will like either get on board, like this is my child and love them no matter what. Mm-hmm. Or like, I can't imagine how a parent can look at their child and be like, I can't love you anymore because you're not my idealized child.
And yeah. Like, no, I have, my mother literally told me that she, it doesn't matter how much she loved me. She's always going to love God more. And so God said, I'm going to hell. So,
The WWJD? And he's like, probably hate everybody. And it's like, no. Like, I had this spiel the other day that I was like, Jesus is a trans man. And like, just, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to tell everybody Jesus is a trans man and be like, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, ding dongs. Like,
well, I was thinking about him today, like in a different context. I'm not religious at all. I just randomly think about Jesus. But I was thinking about him, and the thing where my thoughts ended up leading with thinking about him in terms of being like an alien, basically, or like what our concept of what an alien would be.
Yeah,
this is like, huh?
Yeah, what do you mean? Like, as in like an actual...
Well, if you think about, if he's supposed to be like half God, and like God doesn't live on the planet, then that would make him half alien.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Very random thought.
So Jesus is like a cone head. They dropped him off on earth just to live a normal life.
I mean, because like, honestly, everybody's got these like idealized visions of what like religion is. and nobody can really tell, like, so it's fun to just kind of screw with them, because it's like, mm-hmm. no, actually, you know, Jesus would, you know, Jesus had three arms. Like, who knows? But yeah, I don't know. I'm really sorry that your mom said that, though. That's like, what a, like, I can't imagine, as a parent myself, like, my daughter, no matter what, she's always right. She will always be right. And I can't mm-hmm. imagine, like, throwing away relationships for, like, a, you know, an imaginary friend in the sky. It's like,
well, I mean, and I'm saying this, like, just from my parents' perspective, or specifically, like, my mother's perspective, and, like, how our relationship has gone, and how, what I know of, like, her and, like, her past and stuff. I think, because I've told this to her before, too, I think some people, it's a fundamental, we all have things in our life that kind of, like, ground us and keep us together, and I think for a lot of people, that tends to be religion.
Yeah.
And their life can't, for some people that's science, for some people that's drugs, it's like, and so I think for her just due to like her own past and everything, life could not be held together without religion being there.
Yeah. I mean,
that makes sense.
Yeah. My dad is a born again Christian now. And I mean, luckily he realized that his one avenue to the only grandchild that still like is, he's able to talk to. My brother doesn't talk to my dad anymore, but like uh-huh. My daughter is the only grandchild that he's going to be able to talk to. And so by him not accepting me, he loses access to her. So he, you know, he's supportive to a point. So mm-hmm. I'm still David to him, but occasionally he'll say she, her. Like, cool, Dad, you know,
well, see, my dad has, the last time I was, like, one of the last times I was, like, physically around my dad addressed me, name-wise, well, I have, like, a family nickname that people always called me, and, like, people still call me that now, and so, because it's, like, a gender-neutral nickname, so it doesn't matter, but, like, he would address me as that, and then call, like, he referenced me, like, she, her, and so I was, like, I don't think he has as much of an issue as what my mother does. But, like, my mother is, like, very refusal of it. And so I'm like, okay.
How, like, so do you just have the one sibling or do you have one?
I have so I have three older half-siblings. But they were, my dad and my mother are, like, 10 years apart. And so they were much older than I was. So it's not like I grew up with them.
Freeze.
Yeah, you had brought them. And then I have one much younger half or like full sibling who still lives with them.
And how, what's the support level like with all of them?
The oldest, we haven't talked to them. That was probably, I think the last time I saw them was when I went to my patriarchal grandfather's funeral, which was probably when I was like 19.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then my younger brother is, he still lives at home with them. And, do I want to say that? I'm not going to get into much specifics because I've, he had very, me and my brother that I still speak to, both of us have very, like, progressive general worldviews. Mm-hmm. He does not, but that's also because, like, he's autistic. He grew up solely, like, in the house with them and with a lot of influence from my mother. So I feel like that's where a lot of that is, like, derived from.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard once, you know, like, especially if you're still, like, under the thumb of somebody to, like, even get out and have your own thoughts. Like, I remember, like, I would say moderate conservative views until, like, I got out from, like, Culpeper, Virginia. Trash. But, yeah, it's, I'm really, like, I love that you do have some support in the family. That's, like, mm-hmm. that's, I mean, at least, like, it's not, like, a full loss, but, And yeah. After, like, honestly, if your parents were to see the amazing woman that you are now, wow, like, they're missing out. So, but
what they don't, I guess I don't think about it as much now because, like, I started kind of pulling away from my parents when I was around, like, 15 for, like, other reasons. And so it never, the person I am now, I feel like they don't know, if that makes sense. And so it's not, it doesn't feel as much like, of a loss to a certain extent.
Yeah. Well, in that same vein, like, what would you say? I mean, other than like the, you know, the family leaving kind of sucks because it's just, that's, you know, that's their choice. I mean, that's them being ignorant and they're missing out on a beautiful, wonderful person. What have been like the really positive points of your transition? Like what are like the, did you have those like those indelible moments that are like, this was, you know, my favorite time of this part of it?
All of it. I'm in such a great, like, just in my overall life currently, I'm in such a great place, yeah. Like, just generally. If I had to pick moment-wise, I'd probably say after, one of them would probably get my name legally changed.
Yeah. How is and, that in Georgia? Is that hard?
No. So like your name is not hard. In Georgia, your gender can be a little tougher in terms of your documentation for everything, just because of you're supposed to have gender confirmation surgery.
Really?
In order to be able to get like your gender markers changed. Yeah. However, most, it just says gender confirmation surgery. And so, like, loophole-wise, technically, that can be breast augmentation.
Oh.
And so, like, if you have the right daughters for it, they'll just write that off because it's still gender, like, a gender-confirming surgery. Yeah. And so they'll write and document everything down that they just, I think when they do it, they just don't specify.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, could you almost even, like, constitute like Botox, like if you got Botox in like a feminine area to feminize your face, like you'd be like, it's feminizing.
I mean, well, I'm not gonna say who I go, like I won't say where I go to get my hormones or anything, but I feel like if you find a queer friendly place, they would be more lenient.
Yeah.
But I think they do need to have some kind of like surgical documentation, but in terms of like, I think in terms of like HIPAA, they probably can't share that. Yeah. They just wouldn't want to be like technically, I guess, lying under oath to like the government. But
yeah,
huh. Yeah, like, but
it was a procedure. I know in Virginia, like Virginia was so easy. Virginia was just like you show up to the courthouse, you fill out paperwork, you say this is what I identify as, here's my name, and my name changed, and they're just like, cool, in like 3 to 4 weeks you'll get a notification, like you'll get an email with your new paperwork. And you know, a couple weeks later I got some paperwork that I took to the DMV and to the Social Security office, and David is no more.
So it was like the same thing with your name too?
Yep, the name and gender was just like, it just, you, they had a little checkbox, which one do you want, do you want an M or an F? And I was like, I always said, I never worked this hard for an F in my whole life.
Because I still had to go to, I still had to have like a court day for my name change.
Oh,
but
really?
But my court experience was like, I had a wonderful court experience because it ended up being done virtually because I got it done toward like the end of 2020.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so it was done virtually anyway. And, but they still put you like in a room with a whole bunch of people. And so when we got on the call, it was, the judge was like, visibly seemed like she was a very masculine lesbian. Perfect. And so I was like, okay, this should go good. And so I'm just sitting there and it's like, they do one person and then they do another person and then another person for like, and all of them were for like, parents like changing their kids' names after divorces or stuff like different things like that. And so it's just one person after another. And I'm like, are we going to like get to me? Like, what is going on? And so everybody else is out of the, has finished except for me. And so it's just me, the judge, and like her clerk or whatever, who's like on the screen or whatever. And she was like, I'm so sorry you had to wait. I just always like to save these for last, because I remember how special it was when my wife got to change hers. And I was like, what is going on? And so I was like, oh, this is so sweet.
That's amazing.
That's so cute.
Like, it was a very, very wonderful experience. Because I was like, even though I'm in Atlanta, I'm still in Georgia.
Yeah.
And so I was like, please let this not be bullshit. Cute. And luckily it wasn't.
I had a really good experience at the DMV. It took like 6 months to get that appointment. And when I got there, my appointment was at 2:30, and then they were running behind, and I made it to 4:45, and then the computers went down and they started taking people's names to get like appointments again for 4 to 6 months down the line again. I was like, motherfucker. The lady walks up to me and I'm like about to fucking cry on the spot. And she's like, what are you here for? I was like, name and gender marker change. She goes, oh my God, come back. Come to the back with me. We have one working computer in the back that we're not telling anybody about. We're doing this today. Like, oh, you beautiful lady. And it was like an old lesbian woman too.
The old lesbians just helping the world go round.
You know? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It makes everything better, lesbians do. okay, so we have a lot of egg cracks that like to watch the podcast, and we like to get like some like pitfalls that you could avoid. Like, what are some areas that you would say like you would caution people against, or things that like you some new trans girl comes up and is like, give me your words of wisdom.
The direction, please.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I would have a whole bunch of them. The one I've been thinking about most recently would probably be to, I understand it's not for or works for everybody, but to at least try to go on, not just estrogen, but progesterone for like 2 years prior to getting breast augmentation. Ooh, wow. You're like, yeah, oh no.
Look, you didn't do that. I did, and I don't need breast aug.
See, so prior to, like I said earlier, I do like adult content, and that kind of played into it. But prior to me, when I had my, because I had breast augmentation done, but before I had it done, I already had like a C-cup. And so I went in and had a very small implant put in there, like basically about as small of an implant as you can get.
Like a 50 cc?
Huh? Like no, they're like three, I think they're like 300 cc. Like they're very, like for my general frame and everything, they're like very, the implant itself is very conservative, especially compared to what a lot of bitches get. But then I waited. But then the thing was I had only done estrogen up to that point, except for like 3 months. And then I did I started progesterone like 3 months before I got my breast augmentation done. And then started progesterone afterwards. And my boobs kept growing. Mm-hmm. And so like now they're around probably like a 36. I don't want to say like what the actual, because my measurement wise, they're very big, but the bra that I buy are like a 36 triple or like quadruple D.
Motherfucker.
And so it's like, I feel like my boobs aren't that big though, but like measurement wise they are. So going from like a C cup to getting a small implant and then getting that, I kind of wish I hadn't of got my breast done. Like, I like my boobs, but I never really wanted, like, huge boobs.
Shit.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Go on progesterone. That would be, like, first and foremost.
I'm past year two. Are we past year two yet?
No. I'm almost 22 months. 22 months. Okay.
Yeah, so 17. I'm 21 months. I'm at a C. And I really don't want them getting any bigger, but I feel them growing again. I'm like, chill.
I went I went full, like, going all the way. I did three surgeries in 30 days at late 2023. Oh, God. It was orchiectomy on October 9th,
uh-huh.
Breast augmentation October 16th, and then FFS on November 8th. So,
Lord, how did you get all of that together? So close.
The doctors all kind of had like their availability open up, and everybody's like, well, how'd you get your doctors to agree to like let you do all those? And I was like, I just didn't tell them. Like, I didn't tell any
that
doctors.
That is so dangerous. That would be my egg. That would what I would always also tell eggs. Don't do what she did.
No, I mean, yeah.
Don't lie to your doctors like they're mistresses and shit.
I got in this mentality. I was in Central Virginia when I started transitioning, and I thought everybody said, okay, 6 months to a year is when you'll start seeing like changes, and I uh-huh. wanted some changes like immediately. So I just started. I stopped drinking as much. I started working out. Like basically I did a 5K every day. It was my mantra. I like go for a 5K run every day. I skipped a day, so I'm kind of like lacking, but like working out that much, it kind of makes your body like you heal quickly, from like yeah. wounds and stuff. So I was able to like, you know, one of the doctors was like, he knew that I just got an orchiectomy. The top surgeon, the guy who did my top surgery was like, it's like, you know, if you weren't in this shape, we probably would recommend that you not do it. But, he's like, you're already here. And I was like, I'm already in the gown. So come on, ding dong, let's go.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
But I feel like I did mine kind of close together, but I will say like surgery wise, if you're in good shape and like work out consistently, it does, yeah. 100%. And then if you don't take pain medication afterwards, it speeds up your healing process.
Yeah. Well, that was like, I had so much or like Oxy, the pain meds they gave me, I had so much of that left over. I just saved it all up and was like, I'm just take this for fun. So.
Yeah. See, the first surgeries I ever had, I never took pain medication afterwards.
Yeah. Because
people just say you heal quicker. And my whole thing was like, okay, well, I'll just heal quicker. And so I would just, but I never really had like a whole ton of pain though.
Yeah.
Just generally.
Yeah. I think like orchiectomy, I was back to 100, like 0 out of 10 pain within like maybe 36 hours. Like, mm-hmm. it was just like, I'm good. Like,
yeah. It took me the
opposite. It was like, FFS took forever. That one sucked. I'm still healing from that. My nose is still giant.
When did you have FFS?
So Dr. Jeffrey Jumaley out in LA.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, yeah. When?
So what? A win?
When?
Oh, October. I'm sorry, November 8th.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you still have plenty of healing to do. Yeah.
It was. Oh, especially because I'm old too. So. Yeah.
I'm supposed to have mine on the 18th next month, but I am in the middle of a really shitty appeal. Like they gave me pre-ortho and mm-hmm. then I pressed on because I was cleared to go. And then out of nowhere, they denied it. Saying
out for like, oh, like through insurance.
Oh yeah. Okay. They came back and were like, oh no, never mind. This is cosmetic. I'm like, fuck you, cosmetic. It's like, you told me yes, so I went and got the CT scan. My parents already have airfare to come here for the, you know, aftermath. And, yeah, I'm supposed to get a solid yes or no on Monday or Tuesday. So I'm in limbo.
We're crossing our fingers.
Yeah.
Cross our fingers.
Yeah.
Nothing like getting your skull broke open.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It is...
bone scraped out and thrown in the trash.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so Andy, have you done FFS?
Yeah.
I would say it's like there's no way your face is that perfect. Like, good. If you just had that just from hormones, I'm gonna go find a tall building and jump off of. You look fantastic.
Thank you. I just don't talk. That's the one thing. I guess I should have said that beforehand. That I don't like. I don't mind telling people that I've had it done, but I just don't like super talk about it just because that was,
I think if you want,
No, that's fine. Just because, because I mean, when people look at pictures, especially old pictures compared to now, it's like they're gonna know. But I just don't ever publicly really talk about it because that was kind of, I talked about my other two surgeries very publicly. And so for me, that was something that was just so important to me that I just didn't ever really want to, like, yeah, you know, talk about it.
I'm going to do the same thing. I'm not going to talk about it. And after I get it done, I'm going to start progressively just inching away from the trans thing and just, you know, blend into the fold.
That's what I do. That's my general disposition from, like, my day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So tell us about your...
Wait a minute. I fucking have to be, because I'm a, like, property manager in front of a bunch of North Carolinians.
So, I want
them fucking knowing.
Hang on there, young girl. Are you... Hold on.
But there's...
Flipped up in your voice mighty funny.
Yeah, but there's, like, a whole different... Passability-wise, which the internet will never tell me that I'm passable, but passability-wise, you run into completely different things. Like, there's two sides to, like, the same coin. It's like, if you don't pass, then obviously you get, like, a certain kind of shit. If you do pass, then you get to listen to people say what they would say in front of people who aren't trans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's a very...
Yeah, you get a guest pass into that world.
Yeah. So it can happen if up and down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and then, like, and you get those awkward interactions. Like, we had one tonight where, like, this guy didn't realize, you know, didn't know that I was trans. And it's like, I didn't know how to basically say, like, my voice isn't this low and this raspy because of... you know, because I smoke too much. I don't know. It's those weird interactions where it's like, is this person going to hurt me when they find out? And I always kind of, I'm always on the edge of my seat. Like, if somebody finds out, are they going to freak out and act weird? Anyways, that's neither here nor there. I'm realizing what time it is. We probably need to jump in some of these awesome questions that we have. Before we do that, Andy, do you mind telling people on the internet how to find you, how to get in, like, what your handles are, your ways to get in touch with you or get see you?
So Instagram is Andy Jade, AndyJade _. I think Twitter is exactly the same thing.
Oh, you mean X?
Sorry for my misgender. Not really an ally. I have not, like, even when I post tweets, I still call it, like, a reference it in Twitter.
So everybody does.
So stupid.
You know, it's just very hard. I'm from a different time.
You're from the same time.
I'm from a different time, and so it's hard for me to get caught up on these new things that the younger generation are doing now.
You don't know it's how elite it is
with changing their names with who?
Super elite, super. I can't remember what all the kids are saying now. I video games, but tell us about. So also tell us real quick about your podcast and how to find, like, how people can find that.
That's T-rated podcast. There's not T, just the letter. Obviously, it stands for trans.
Oh,
rated. Really?
I get it now.
Yeah. But it's T, just the letter, rated podcast. That's on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. You can listen to it on Spotify. Basically everywhere. You can go look up for it on YouTube. Honestly, this is going to sound arrogant, but if you type Andy Jade into Google, everything will come up.
Hey, just simplify it.
And that's not an arrogant thing. That's just like marketing, search engine optimization thing. It's like all my stuff will come up.
SEO 101.
Baby. Well, that's wonderful. We're gonna do a big marketing push for you too, because that's
thank
awesome.
You.
Well, awesome. Well, we do have. I have my favorite question that I like to ask people. If you're ready for it,
yeah, I think so.
Okay, so Andy, what would you say your transition theme song is?
Oh my god. Just because this is like my favorite movie of all time, I have no clue what the fuck the name of the song is. But Devil Wears Prada is my favorite movie. And so the song plays when Andy Sachs has her transition from being like the nerdy girl to the fashion girl, that's my song.
Perfect.
Okay.
She has like a whole fashion monologue. Have y'all seen the movie?
Absolutely.
Yes, long
time. Okay, yeah. So you know, like when she starts finally dressing in the Chanel boots and everything, that song where she's like going from the subway and going into the office and she has all those different outfits, whatever song that is playing. Okay. That's my song. My transition song.
When we do this promo post, that's the song that's going to play.
I love it. That's fantastic. We were thinking about like, you know, when we were first doing the podcast, like what our songs were as like how you would idealize my transition. And like the theme song kind of came out as that. And like, everybody's got one apparently. Mm-hmm. So everybody's got a song that like helped them through something or like really celebrated it. So it's kind of fun to hear like what people, whether it's a sad song or a happy song or somewhere in between. Nika always says like
country.
That dude looks like a lady for Mika. It's kind of, she's, yeah. But we always, and we get the Shania Twain feel like a woman a lot. So.
Not Shania Twain.
But I love that the Devil Wears Prada Andy's song. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
That'll work. Okay, I have my question. It's a little goofy, but I'm gonna word it different this time. So you've been on the pod. Now you have to think of somebody that you want to call out to be on this pod. Who do you want to see on this? Somebody that you know and like, would be plausible of throwing them under the bus.
Yeah, who would
be? Not plausible. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of
BS.
You know, we all know everyone. So.
Oh, absolutely.
I kind of want to see her generally do more podcasts because I'm like kind of obsessed with, I don't know if she has done any podcasts. She does modeling though. Her name's Scarlett. I think Giuseppe, I don't think if that's her last name. I can't remember what it actually is. If you look on my Instagram though, I follow her. If you look up Scarlett.
Okay.
But she's like tall and gorgeous. Me and her kind of, she's like the brunette version of me. If I was actually thin. In my brain, that's what I would look like.
Yeah, I hear you.
Is it getting hot in here or what?
I think so.
I love it. That's awesome. Andy, thanks so much for being able to come on and just like chit chat with us. We like to just bring awesome people on like you and just get your thoughts and hear about your life and everything. And it's wonderful.
Thank you.
I guess we usually jump into like final thoughts and then jump into after hours if that's cool with you. All right. Well, I guess in terms of like, Bree, you want to go to final thoughts first or I always go first?
Yeah, it's a tradition. Go ahead.
Okay. Andy, you are stunning. So, like through and through. And I just like your energy is so positive and just such a like nice.
Oh, thank you.
Especially this time, you know, this time of the year, also this time of like our transition. I know that like 2 years in, it's kind of like, what the hell are we doing? So it's good to, I love having somebody with your energy around. And it's just great to be around somebody who's so positive and just doing such good stuff for the community and being such a positive influence. So thanks so much for coming on and letting us do our drivel with you.
Of course.
Andy, I think you actually like broke my heart in this episode.
Oh my God, why did I break it?
Nobody in Atlanta actually says Hotlanta.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've believed that my entire life. I've been sold a lie and I've just been told that it was a bill of goods, you know? Like, good Lord. But in reality, you are absolutely gorgeous. I'm jealous of your hair. Hundo P.
And, well, you can get it. They sell it.
Okay.
Not what, my actual hair. I just mean their
extension. Like, what, you smell bathwater too?
not my actual hair.
Oh, cool. Where's that website? But thank you for everything that you do. You're amazing. Incredible.
Yeah.
Love you.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is awesome. Thanks everybody for watching. I guess we'll, for anybody who's part of our Patreon, we'll see you in the after hours. If not, you should subscribe to our Patreon because it's awesome. And we're going to get to ask Andy some really fun, sexy questions. Mm-hmm. And, but if you're not part of the after hours, this is where we're going to leave you, sadly. But hopefully, we'll see everybody in the after hours. And Andy, once again, thank you so much for coming on. You're just a ray of sunshine.
Yeah, my pleasure. And
like just such a positive influence. So I love it. But awesome. Well, we'll see everybody in the after hours, and otherwise we'll see you next week. But bye everybody.
Bye. Bye.
This has been a production of Girl Dad Girls Podcast. Check out new episodes every Thursday. If you are interested in knowing more, please email info@girldadgirls.com or find us on Instagram @girldadgirls. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.